He is definitely not known for being lazy, being the first blind person to complete the 7-marathon challenge, taking part in a 700-mile bike ride, and achieving another world record by becoming the first blind person to complete every great run in the 2017 series. He even has a bus named after him. But what has he done for us lately? That's what I'm asking you. I'm talking, of course, of the brilliant Dave Healy. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right, kid. I like it. I forgot about that bus, you know.
That's my favourite thing, Dave. I love that bus.
Oh, I tell you, I know. It was fantastic when they had a series of 17 or 19 buses at the local depot, and the drivers got to name them, and they obviously included me in the list. And it seems quite strange when people say to me, "We saw your bus passing through X, Y, and Z." I keep forgetting about that thing, but it's absolutely brilliant.
Well, welcome back to the afternoon edition, Dave. How's your week been?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. I'm glad this white stuff's gone.
I'm glad
that cold weather's got... My goodness me, was it cold last week.
It certainly was. And not only was it cold, but even once the snow passed, there was fog, there was rain. Yeah. It feels like we're so far away from spring, but we should be coming into spring just this weekend.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it... What the date today? Is it the 21st, 22nd today? I thought it was the start of spring.
I think it is. We lose an hour this weekend, don't we?
Oh, yeah,
Surely all we ask in return is a little nice weather.
I tell you what, 12, 13, 14 degrees would be nice. Goodness me. Yeah, I mean... What is it, the Beast from the East 2 or whatever it was last... But we were out running last Saturday. I got roped in... I'm part of a running club, or was, and still am, West Bromwich Harriers. And one of the old laddies just took over because it had dropped a little bit and some of the runners had left. And the club had sort of was in free fall. And bless him, he's a good mate of ours. He's tried to rake a team for the National 12 stage relays last Saturday. So he's got me, Carl, and a couple of other lads, and I mean, we're old dinosaurs now, 5, 6 years ago when we was running it. And my goodness me, we got in there, and wow, you're standing on the line waiting to be tagged. And the blizzard coming, the wind coming, the cold. And there I am, standing in shorts, thinking, this is not a good move.
Absolutely not. And the Beast from the East. You know, we had part two last week. Apparently we're going to get part three. But part one was definitely the worst when all that snow came in. How was mobility for you when there was so much snow around?
It can be a bit of a nightmare. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind snow. I love it even better on a Christmas card. But I mean, when snow falls and it's fresh, it's quite good because, you know, you put your wellies on or your big boots and you can trudge along to your heart's content. And it's great. And even Seamus, the guide dog, he loves it. He loves us now. But I just find after that first day, the temperature drops to ridiculous. And then suddenly you get the ice. Then you get a fresh snowfall. And when it snowed, it did come down well, didn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, you've got the fresh snow with the ice underneath. And that's when it comes dangerous. And on that Saturday prior, before I went out on the... Well, no, I didn't. I didn't even go out. I didn't budge on the Friday night. And then on the Saturday, I thought, you are joking. I just stayed in all day. I just thought, no, it just ain't worth it.
No.
You know, one little trudge, one little ice slip, bang, snow, wall, tree, whatever. And, you know, you're out of the game, aren't you? It's lovely for the kids. And the kids loved it with the sledges. And, you know, you love them to up and down and shout and scream and enjoy. But I think... When you get to adult status, you sort of think, no, I just wait for it to come on a Christmas card.
I couldn't agree more. I think the first day of snowfall, you get so excited, it takes you back to being a kid.
Yeah.
But then after that, you're done with it. You don't want it anymore. You don't even want to leave the house.
You don't, and you just think, no. And you think back to sort of, in my case, is it 2 years, 3 years when I was a kid? Well, perhaps 30 years or 40 years. You know, and you think to yourself, how was I out in that? No gloves, no scarf, you know, just a small coat in those days. And wow, but now,
Well, the good thing, Dave, is when the snow falls, it's handy to have a hobby that you can do indoors. And let's not forget, you are a big lover of DIY. Now, for listeners who are just tuning in for the first time, Dave, you live with your wife, Deborah, and your three kids.
Yep.
But recently, you have been working on triple bunk beds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a friend of Deb's, the wife's. They live in a house which is quite small, surprisingly, and they've got three girls and a lad. So three-bedroom house, the lad's in the one, he's the lucky one, he's got a bedroom to himself, and the three girls are all sort of spread out in the one room, and they've got a set of bunk beds, a double bed and a single bunk on the top. And it was just mentioned, like, during Christmas, do you think you could? And I went, well, I can do, yeah, I'm sure I can. Well, they priced them up, and that was over £1,000, and I said, that's ridiculous. Uh-huh. I said, if I can't do that for less than that. So we purchased the wood. To be fair, mate, the wood cost us, I think it was 120, 130 quid. And I set to work. I got it out in my head. I got the measurement, floor to ceiling, and where it could fit. And I thought, yeah, okay. Equaled it out. And I just like to design things anyway, in my head. And I thought, right, a bunk bed is four legs, you know, the struts across. You've got to have a base to put the mattress. And I thought, you've got to have a little bit of strength in there. So I've routed it. I've screwed and glued it. And I equaled it out. And I made this triple bunk bed. Of course, mattresses, I think they cost about 100 quid each. So for 400 quid, we've got a triple bunk bed set. And the kids love it. And it's in there, you know what I mean? So, but what I love is, number one, the fact that somebody's trusted me to design it, leave it with me and put it together. And then we've got it over there, and Deb, the wife, she's my biggest critic. She told me put it together, because I put it all together down in my workshop, sanded it, made it all nice, took it down, and we took it over flat pack. And when it went up, it took us about 30 minutes, and she said, I can't believe how this has gone together. It's fabulous. And I said, you have done a great... Now, coming from Deb, a great job from her, I'll tell you what, mate, it's on the kitchen wall now, tick, 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 you know, but at any point. But what is great... is them three girls now have actually got a mattress and a bed, be they up rather than down, to themselves. And it's been a long time since those three girls have actually had a bed where they, you know, have had a bed to sleep in on their own. So it's nice when you can get something done for somebody.
Absolutely.
Somebody appreciates it. I've truly enjoyed doing it. And, you know, they've let me loose with my own design, so it's fantastic.
Well, your friends must be very, very happy with your work, and you've saved them a fair bit, but I hear that you are incredibly proud of your work, because it's quite a thing to notch up into your workman's belt, a triple bunk bed. It even sounds good to say.
Yeah, I am, because I do enjoy my carpentry. I enjoy my DIY. I mean, at the minute, Deb's actually got her little item to the top of the list. I'm halfway through making a new desk for her, for the office. And again, I'm enjoying, because I'm not making a conventional desk. She's told me, I want this and I want that incorporated in it. So I sit there for probably a week, you know, and I have a little think about, you want this, you want that. So I need to do this and that and the other, you know. And I design it all in my head. And then it's a case of, I've got to route this, I've got to put screw holes there, and I'm measuring here and measuring there. So I'm sort of three jobs in front of myself when I'm drilling and all the rest. But I really enjoy it. And, chunky desk, it'll be hopefully I do go over the top. I put far too many screws in, I'm guessing, but you know what, over the years when the kids have played on things, I'd rather there was more screws in than less, because they don't get, you know, nobody hurts, do they?
The way you have to think about it as well, Dave, is, I mean, it sounds like what you're making for your wife here is a presidential desk.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got it, because she's president in this house.
Absolutely. But not only that, Dave, you're also making an heirloom that can be passed down through the family. And I think that is something that we're missing badly at the moment. People are buying so many flat pack things that are just going to deteriorate in time. You know that your things are going to be in the family for a good while.
You know what? You've probably just hit the nail on the head, because the unfortunate part about it, 12, 14 months ago, we moved home. And basically, in the house upstairs, I'd pretty well made all the wardrobes, I'd made all the kids' beds, I'd done their bedrooms out in Winnie the Pooh style, with slides and castles in there.
Oh.
Now, when we came to move, that was the shock, because we moved not quite suddenly, because we had to, but we did, and then we need. And the kids said, you're going to build that? And I said, well, it'll be 12, 18 months before. So we had to buy all new stuff. I never realised the three bedrooms upstairs, which was the kids, I'd made, fixed. I couldn't take them, could I? But when the family came in that actually bought our house, they said afterwards, the kids have absolutely loved what you've left. And I thought, you're right. So them will be in there until they possibly grow up and move, you know. But it is nice when you make furniture. And again, what's nice is Deb's looking for a kitchen cabinet. She went out the other day and she said, I've seen what I like. She says, but Dave, for the price, I'm not being funny, I could blow it and it would move across the kitchen. So she says, I'm going to trust in you. And she's going to show me what it is, so I've got a feel for it. And she said, you will make a better cabinet than that. And I thought, you know what? It makes me feel good because Deb trusts me to do a job that she's going to have something that, you know, is not just three pieces of wood and a nail. And you say, oh, my blind bloke's done that. She can trust me that, you know, I'm going to joint it properly. I'm going to put the drawers in right. And I think, and so when you're doing stuff, it's a kind of proudness when you've finished, if you know what I mean, if you can understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But in Dave, our kitchen, you know.
Do you ever think she was just trying to keep you busy?
Yeah. Most definitely, mate. But I think what it is she wants to paint the kitchen. I think it tries to keep me busy in the workshop because it keeps me away from tins of paint.
Well, she's very smart. But you are, Dave. You're always a busy man. And you've got a few upcoming events happening. Now, April the 4th, you and another 30 cyclists are embarking on quite a journey. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, we're doing the annual Albion Foundation Ride. And this year we're coming back from the Swansea Ground. So we kick off from the Swansea Ground on the Thursday and we reappear at the Hawthorns on the Saturday for the Swansea, the Albion-Swansea game. And then on the Sunday, I'm setting off a race in Lichfield, which is the Cathedral to Castle Run. And I said, well, if I can set it off, you know, I'm quite chuffed that you've asked me, but I also want to run. So we're starting at Lichfield Cathedral and we've got a 10-mile run across country to Tamworth Castle, which will be absolutely brilliant. And then we've got the Blind Dave Colour Run in the Valley, Samwell Valley, on July the 14th, which, oh, it's fantastic. And now I know what it involves, people throwing paint at a blind bloke, it's even better. And then we're doing the Great Wall of China in October, so the family's involved in that one too this time. So the youngsters who are not so young now and the wife have decided to embark on this great adventure, and it's going to be a great sort of family adventure, so...
See, this one, Dave, I know you've not finalised all the details yet, but is it the entire length of the wall?
No. It won't be. I think there's not many people who have actually done the 2,000 miles, and it would be lovely to do.
But there's not many people that have got a bus named after them either, Dave.
No, that's true, that's true. Hey, perhaps I can get the bus over there, and the miles that I can travel on the bus. But no, I think there's a lot of the wall that is not impassable, but I think it's just that it's deteriorated that much that, you know, it's one of those that they sort of tongue-in-cheek say, stay away. But we're doing a six-day trek. We've got about 6 or 7 hours of running, walking, crawling, climbing, whatever it is we've got to do. So we will incorporate a lot of the wall, namely steps, you know, hills up, down, and all sorts of things. And I'm hoping that, you know, for the kids, it'll be a fantastic adventure. They can capture a lot of... maybe the culture, maybe the animal status out there, you know. So it'll be great. It will be great.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing all about it right here on the Afternoon Edition. Dave, if anyone wants to find out a little bit more about yourself, where can they go?
Well, could I mention my Just Giving? We've set a new Just Giving up for this year's challenges, which is simply justgiving.com/teamblinddave. 2018. So anybody wanting to throw a couple of pennies on there, we would be grateful. And otherwise, it's blinddavehealy.co.uk, which is the website. Blind Dave Healy Facebook and at Blind Dave Healy if you want to Twitter us and keep in touch. And, you know, please get in touch with us. Let's have a chin wag and maybe we can encourage people to go on and do something or join us on a couple of the events.
Dave, it's an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I'm just so sad that Simon will be back next week and I won't get the chance. But I wish you all the very best with the upcoming events and, of course, the Great Wall when it comes with the kids.
You're a superstar. Thank you very much indeed for having me on yet again, mate.